Sister Rachel's lessons are, as always, right on time. And we're very thankful. Thankful to see each of you this morning. And we trust that the God of glory will make his presence so rich in your lives here this morning that it will draw you back again and again. We sometimes just fall into the habit of going to church. Let us pray without ceasing that we might always be gathered together to worship and praise his name. You see, there's something rather special about that idea of being gathered. As I've used the illustration before, this is a beautiful arrangement down here in front of us. It didn't come together. It didn't get together. They didn't all show up and climb in the pot at the same time. They were gathered. A force stronger than they were, and greater than they were, and with more wisdom than they had, brought them together and placed them together and arranged them together and made of them a thing of beauty. You see, that's what it means to be gathered. I know over the years I've heard people wonder a few times, you know, well, it says wherever two or three are gathered together in his name, that there he'll be. And there was half a dozen of us at church today, and I just didn't much feel like he was there with us. But you see, there is a difference between gathering together and being gathered together. And that's what his promise was, that wherever two or three are gathered in my name, wherever it has pleased me to gather two or three, there am I also in the midst. So you see, I trust that God will bless us and direct our focus to such an extent that we won't just be blessed to get together on Sunday morning, but that we will pray for his drawing power, his drawing spirit, his drawing love, that we might not just show up, but that he would gather us, that he would draw us, that he would bring us by the power of his great love together in the same pot, and arrange us in a way that is pleasing to him and beautiful to his people that are blessed to look upon it. So I am thankful this morning to feel like that we have been gathered together here this morning, and I pray that it may always be with us that we are gathered together. And Sister Mary Van, before I announce my scriptures, don't worry, I don't intend to preach the same sermon I did Friday. But it is going to, we are going to start in the same psalm I used Friday. Psalm 48. And I'm not looking for a phone call, but my watch has died, and so I need some way of having a clue of what time it is when I think about it. Psalm 48. It begins with these words: "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness." What an explanation of praise David begins with here. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. I want you to get that. Didn't say that the palaces are a refuge. That God is known in her palaces. That God is known in the high places of his city as the refuge. God is the refuge. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. God is the refuge. He breaks the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. I'm just hitting some highlights along here because it's really the last verse that I want to, if the Lord will allow me, that I want us to focus the most of our attention on this morning. He says, as we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our gods, God will establish it forever. As we have heard, so we have seen. Lord, all that we have heard of you, of your power, of your glory, of your might, of your majesty, of your love, of your faithfulness, all that we have heard of you, we have seen in the city of the Lord of hosts. In the city of our God. God will establish it forever. We have a promise, brothers and sisters. We have a promise from God who cannot lie that his city is established forever. I know that there's a lot of trouble in this world. I know that there's a lot of grief in this world. I know there's a lot of foolishness in this world. Men just absolutely going crazy, it looks like, and just living in any way, shape, form, or fashion. But understand this, that the city of God is established. It will not be moved. It cannot be moved because it is God that keeps it. And I'm not talking about a city that we have that we can set boundaries around. The city of God is not in a physical place. When we consider the globe, at least, the city of God is within the hearts of his people. And wherever God's people are that when and that worship him and see him as the great and mighty God that he is, his city is established there forever. Now, what does that mean for us? What would it mean to you to live in the city of God forever? If you stop and consider your lives for a few minutes, you've already tasted what that means. How many times in your life has there been situations that were so full of trouble and turmoil and agitation that you didn't think there was any way in the world that you could have a minute's rest, that you could ever close your eyes and sleep, that you could ever have a thought that wasn't just overrun with grief, and in the midst of all of that there was a quietness that came into your heart, a peace that entered into your soul, that welled up in the very core of your being, and that told you that regardless of how things looked, that all was well. That regardless of how things felt, that God was still in control. That regardless of what men around you were shouting at the top of their voices, that God, with that small, still voice, could cut through all of that racket and assure you that he is still your God and that he is still on his throne and that he has established his city. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. Lord, we consider your favor to us at the very core of our being. That is where the midst of God's temple is. That God dwells in the midst of his temple. And that we consider that God, both that God dwells in the midst of his temple, and we consider while in the midst of his temple, that we have his loving kindness, that we have his favor, that his eye is ever upon us, that his right arm is not shortened, that it cannot save, and that his ear is not dull, that he cannot hear, that time and circumstance have not changed him from the God that spoke the world into existence and declared the end from the beginning. Now, that doesn't just mean that he knew that there the beginning and the end, but that from the beginning, he declared the end. From the beginning, he told you what the end was going to be. From the beginning, he set you in a solid place, in a sure place, and established in your hearts the end. That is why that we are able to have peace. That is why that we find joy in the midst of our trouble. That is why that we are not overcome with sorrow, is because God saw the end from the beginning, and he has been pleased in his grace and mercy to share that in our hearts. This is what he told the prophet Isaiah. Comfort ye, my people. 40th chapter of Isaiah, I believe. Comfort ye, my people. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, which is the city of God. Not physical Jerusalem, but spiritual Jerusalem. Do you understand that you are the place that God has been pleased to put his name? And that whenever God talks about putting his name in us, that he's not just talking about what he's called, but who he is, his reputation, his character, all that he is. He has put that in his city. And this is how that we can be kind to those who are not kind to us. How we can love those that hate us. How we can pray for our enemies is because he has put his name here. God has so loved you and so chosen you and so favored you that he has put his very name in you. That you are called by his name. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise. According to his reputation, according to what we know of him, so we render praise unto him. Now, if we are in that established city, again, consider, according to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Our praise to him mirrors how we hold him in reputation. If you don't think much of your God, you're not going to give much praise to your God. According to thy reputation, according to thy name, O God, so is thy praise. So I would ask us, each and every one, to examine our hearts and ask ourselves and be honest before God's throne. Based on the praise that we give him with our lives, what do we think of his reputation? Based on the praise that we render unto God, what does that say about how we think of him, what we think of him, what we believe that he has done for us, and how we experience that in our lives? Because David said that our praise was in direct relation to what we think of him. to how we view him, to how we understand his name, his reputation. So I said all that to get to this, so that this last statement, which is really kind of my starting point, I hope, will make sense. For this God who is great and greatly to be praised, this God who has made a beautiful situation for his city, for the place where he has put his name, this God that is known as our refuge, this God that has showed his loving kindness to us, that has favored us, that has loved us, that has called us, that has chosen us, this God who has put his praise in our lips, this God is our God. This God is our God. This God that spoke the world into existence is our God. Young people, don't let men confuse you when they begin to talk about their Big Bang theory. Now, scientists say there is an echo out there. I won't dispute that. The scripture says that God spoke the world into existence. I would not be at all surprised to find an echo of that power and of that speaking still bouncing around the universe. But it wasn't an accident. It was a thing of purpose. Think about in our own lives. If you drop something and break it, that's an accident, right? You don't drop a big bowl and anticipate picking up little canisters, do you? No. Accidents leave chaos behind, not order. This world and all that is in it is not an accident. It was designed and brought about by this God who is our God. This way that we call Christianity, and let me assure you this, as well as any understand that all the people that call themselves Christian do not live according to what I understand to be the leading and the leadership of Christ. We cannot call ourselves Christian and hate others. We cannot call ourselves Christian and persecute others. We cannot call ourselves Christian and persecute others even if their belief, their behavior, their action is not exactly like ours. The disciples wanted to go down that road at one time when Jesus walked here. And they said, well, there's a group of folks over here calling on your name. There's a group of folks over here doing stuff in your name. And you didn't call them. They wanted to go rebuke them. They wanted to go shut them up. They wanted to go prove that they didn't have any right. What did Jesus tell them? Leave them alone. If they're not against us, then they're for us. Leave them alone. He didn't send them over there to get involved with them. He didn't necessarily tell them, I want you to go over there and support what they're doing. He didn't necessarily tell them, I want you to go over there and get involved in their activities. But he also told them, don't go over there and rebuke them either. You leave them alone. That's not your business. That's not your place. Leave them alone. If they are not against us, they're for us, whether they know it or not. You see, that's man's trouble. He can't quit meddling. He has a real hard time with that simple teaching of Jesus, leave them alone. How much simpler would our life be? You see, this God is our God. The God that knows what he has set in motion. The God that keeps what he has set in motion. And the God that understands what he has set in motion. And even when we don't understand it, his counsel to us is, you leave it alone. I don't need you over there meddling in that because you don't understand what's going on over there. Leave it alone. We are called to love one another. This God is our God, the God that has loved us with an everlasting love, the God that has loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son to die for us, the God that loves us so much that God the Son was willing to take upon himself the form of man. Think about this. We cannot truly comprehend this, that God, the Word, that spoke the world into existence, that according to John was with God in the beginning and was God, and without him was not anything made that was made. Willingly, knowingly, put aside all of the glory. You think about that. You ever been blessed to observe some of the glory of this universe? And do you understand that that doesn't begin to compare with the glory of God? As a child, I was blessed to live out in the country when it was back in those days still country dark. Folks don't know country dark much anymore, not in this country anyway. But you'd be amazed at how many stars are actually shining out there. If you could get in a place where you could really see. And the amazing thing of it is, for all of that, you haven't begun to see anything like what's out there. But it's amazing. I don't know about you, I still ooh and ah at rainbows. You know, I'm going almost 63 years old, so I've seen a few rainbows in my life, and I enjoy seeing them today just as much as I ever did. They are still a wonder to me because they speak of the glory of the God of the universe. Being among God's people is still a joy and a wonder to me because you speak to me of the glory and the majesty of the God of the universe. I see his work in you. I see his life in you. I see his light in you. And that is a wonder to me. This God is our God. You ever stop to think about how marvelous it is that he has given us the liberty to lay claim to him, if you will? That he is not ashamed for us to call him our God? That it does not offend him for us to call him our God? That as a matter of fact, he takes joy in his children owning the relationship that he has created for them with him and with each other. This God is our God. And notice something else. Notice the tense. I know sometimes we get caught up, men get caught up in talking about heaven, that place over yonder somewhere the other side of the graveyard. And there have been a lot of poems written about it and a lot of songs sung about it and a lot of sermons preached about it and a lot of funerals where men have tried to tell you about it. I'm going to tell you something this morning. You study God's word for yourself and when I tell you this and see whether or not it's true. There's almost nothing in this word about that heaven. Do you know why there's almost nothing in this word about that heaven? It's because we couldn't comprehend it if we had volumes written about it. What do you know about eternity? I'm not asking you, you know, what can you pare it back that you've been told. What do human beings really know about timelessness? Can you actually comprehend? I'm not telling you I don't believe that it exists, because I certainly do. And I look forward to fully experiencing it and fully knowing it. But I am a creature bound by time. So much so that I'm afraid to even stand up here and talk to you without having some way of knowing what time it is. Because you might be late for lunch if I don't. Why would our Heavenly Father, who loves us, waste His time telling us a whole lot about something that we can comprehend almost nothing of while we're still bound to this house of clay? Yes, the Bible talks about heaven, but most of the heaven that the Bible talks about, we are blessed to experience right here. Because I'm going to tell you something. Where your God is, that's where heaven is. If God dwells in you, heaven dwells in you. If you are gathered together into the presence of Jesus Christ, the scripture says that we are raised up together and made to sit together in heavenly places. The kingdom of heaven is here. The kingdom of heaven is among men. This God is our God, and He has established a kingdom, and within that kingdom a city, and within that city a people who love righteousness and that marvel at His works and that give glory to Him. This God is our God. Tense. Is our God. Not was, not will be out there on the other side of the graveyard, not might be when we get our act together, not will be if. This God is our God. And those that dwell in the city that He has established have the grace to know and to rejoice and to give Him praise for this knowledge that He is our God. I'm going to tell you something. He's everybody's God. If you truly believe that He is the only God, the one true and living God, then He is everybody's God. And might not everybody be able to call Him Father, but He is everybody's God. And He rules this universe. He is the God of, is the God of this universe. I made a statement few years back that kind of upset some folks. But I made the statement from the pulpit that He is Osama bin Laden's God. Well, Osama bin Laden, of course, is no longer with us physically, but I'm going to assure you something. He is still Osama bin Laden's God. Now, I'm not telling you that Osama bin Laden ever had a godly thought. I don't know. Didn't see a lot of evidence of it in his life. Or Hitler's. Or Attila the Huns, or any of the villains of history, any of the villains of our modern day time that you want to point to, there may not be a lot of evidence of godliness in their lives, but I will assure you this: God is their God. Because He is the God of the universe. This God is our God. The God that's the God of the animals and the plants is my God and your God. This God that's able to cause the animal kingdom to praise him. Is that God? Now, nature praises their God by the very laws that they follow. But when necessary, he can take it even, he can take it up a notch. As Balaam found out that day that his little donkey had better sight than he did. He's making his way down this trail to do something that he knew God wasn't pleased in to begin with. And this little donkey stops. And so he swats him a couple of times and gets him started forward again. The little donkey runs out of the road. And so he swats him a couple of more times. And wonder of wonders, this little donkey turns around and looks at him and says, "Why are you hitting me? Haven't I carried you everywhere you wanted to go for all these years? I've borne you around on my back all these years. Now why are you beating on me?" Some of us in here are old enough to remember the movies about Francis the Talking Mule. Those were funny. I doubt seriously that Balaam found that funny that day. Particularly when after that little donkey of his had spoke to him, that the scales fell from his eyes, if you will, and he looked and he saw what his little donkey was trying to save him from, and that was an angel of God standing in his way with a drawn sword. This God is our God. Is today. However you're living your life, he is your God. Whatever depth of faith you may be exercising or lack thereof in your life, he is your God. Whatever secret sins we might think that we're hiding, you might hide them from me. Quite frankly, I hope you do. I don't want to know. I don't need to know. But I do need for you to know this. God knows. He is your God. He doesn't quit being your God just because you think you've got something in your life you want to hide from him. I've had lots of things in my life that I wish I could have hidden from him. But he has shown me time and time again that they were not hidden and will not be hidden. Now, there again, I hope by God's grace and mercy I can keep them hidden from you. I'll tell you I'm a sinner, and I'll tell you that with all the earnestness in the world. That doesn't mean that I've got to take you and point them all out to you. But he knows. As a matter of fact, he's always known. He knew when he took counsel with the Word and with the Holy Spirit and made a covenant that his only begotten Son would come to this earth to die for men. He knew my sin then. It was not hidden from him then. But the glory of this, and this is what I want to get to. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Well, now, wait a minute. He's going to lead me till I die? Where does that leave me? Sometimes we have to dig into these words a little bit. Particularly when we read things and we think, you know, that just didn't really say, that didn't sound right. He will be our guide. He is going to lead me even unto death. The Hebrew word that was translated as death here, according to Strong's Concordance. You see, I'm not that smart. Anybody can read a Strong's Concordance. But it carried with it this idea, the death of the Son. The death of the Son. They even put forth the notion that it might have been a song title even for that, you know, we've got, some of you may have noticed over the years in the hymn books, you've got songs that have got a title, and then there's a small title under them. Well, you see, years ago particularly, it was a common practice that the poetry would have a title, and the tune would have a title. So when you look in your hymn book and you find a song that's got two titles, one smaller and down below the other one, that's the title that was given to the tune. So there was some thought that maybe that this was the title of a tune. I'm not saying it wasn't, but I am going to tell you that it carries more weight than that. This God is our God forever and ever. Don't let me leave that part out. He is our God forever and ever. He is our God whether we walk uprightly or whether we walk waywardly. He is our God whether we are obedient or whether we are willfully disbelieving. He is still our God. He will be our guide even unto death. He will be our guide to the death of the Son. God the Father, this God who is our God, leads us in paths that will cause us to come to view, to behold, to comprehend the death of the Son. We will be brought to the place of understanding by the leadership of this God and in no other fashion that His Son, Jesus Christ, was born of a virgin, came to this world for the purpose of dying and being an atonement for our sins, and that He satisfied all of God's divine justice on the cross. And we are free. He will be our guide to the death of the Son. You see, that is vital to our life as Christians, is that God leads us to the death of His Son. If you don't believe that Jesus died, then you don't believe that we have been redeemed from the law of sin and death. If you believe that He died, but you don't believe He died for you. Now, let me qualify that. Because you don't believe it doesn't make it true. If we are all honest in ourselves about our sins, we will have to be honest to say that there have been times in our lives that we've thought, Lord, why did you love me? How could you love me? Why would you send your holy, perfect Son to die for me? I got an answer for you. Because it pleased Him. He didn't need any other reason. You see, it wasn't because we pleased Him, but because it pleased Him to do so. It pleased Him to bring His Son into this world to die on the cross that we would never truly taste death. You say, well, now, wait a minute. I got family buried out here. I got family buried all over the hills of Virginia too. And one of these days, I expect this old house right here to quit breathing and this old pump to quit pumping, and they're going to put me in a hole in the ground. They're going to put my body in a hole in the ground. They're not going to put me anywhere. And they haven't put our families anywhere. You have never left the cemetery that you left your loved ones in a hole in the ground. I hope you understand that. I hope that it pleases God to lead you to the death of the Son so that you can fully grasp how powerful that is, that you have never left one of your loved ones in a graveyard, because God called them, called their life, called that vitality back to Him. And they don't need that old house that you put in the graveyard. And if time stands and I live long enough, praise be to God, the day will come that I don't need this one. Now, it and I are still getting along fairly well right now, but not as well as we once did. My knees creak a little more when I take the steps. My back's a little stiffer in the morning when I go to stand up. Tell people all the time, fall as good as I ever did, getting up's a different story. You see, I'm wearing out. This old house, this old tabernacle is wearing out. But you know something that I found? As this old house wears out, the life in me has never aged a day. I still love the same way that I loved. I still take joy in the things of God. I may not be able to do all the things I once did, but I still have great joy in them. I still have great pleasure in them. I still rejoice in seeing others enjoying them. You see, my life hasn't aged a day, because our life is hid with Christ in God. It's kept there. It's protected there. We talk about sometimes how much our lives have changed. But really, if God bless us to look at it aright, our lives haven't changed at all. Our ability to live those lives in this house may have altered the way that we go about doing things. But your life is vital, and just as vital as it has ever been. And it is this piece of knowing. This is why that God, our God, will lead us to the death of the Son. Because in understanding the death of the Son, we understand the assurance of our life in Him. We understand the price that He paid for us. We begin to understand something of the depth of His great love for us. This God, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this God, whether you're 9 or 99, this God is our God. And all of His benefits are ours. All of His joy is ours. All of His love and mercy is ours. So may He give you the grace as you go forth from this place today for that to be vital in your life, that this God is our God. May He gather you here. I hope that you all understand that we need each other. This little body of people here needs you. We need each and every one of you. We need each other to encourage one another, to serve God, and to walk in His way. May God bless and keep you.